Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, this is John Zadak, TV voice of the Cincinnati Reds, and you're up for Late Night Reds Talk.
Well, hey, what is going on? My name is Nick Kirby, and welcome into Late Night Reds Talk, the live show and podcast that loves the Cincinnati Reds. We are part of the Believe Network, presented as always by Bet Online. Our show is live streamed on YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook, and the podcast version is always up the next morning. If you're watching on YouTube, please take 2 seconds, hit that like button, and while you're there, go ahead and subscribe to our channel. It really helps us continue to grow the show. Well, as you see, I am joined, if you're on YouTube, if you see, I'm joined by my guy, Steve Maurer. Unfortunately, Clay and Carlos had to bolt after a nearly five-hour game. Steve, are you still awake? You're out in Arizona, though, right? So you should be good.
I am in Arizona, the 48th state, and it is currently, as we record, just about 8:36, so I am good to go. I might just turn on a West Coast game later. I think the Angels are still playing or something, so I'm good to go, my man.
Tell those who don't know, everyone probably knows the account that you work for. Tell us about what you do and how you got into this crazy Reds fandom.
Yeah, so I am a lifelong Cincinnati Reds fan, born and raised, West Side Cincinnatian, so just in my blood to be a Reds fan. I used to run the Barstool Cincinnati Viceroy page when I was a student at the University of Cincinnati with a couple of my buddies, and then once we were done with that, we decided to just start up a Reds page doing something similar, like kind of just trying to make more of the lighthearted side of just being a fan and following along with the Reds. We started in November 2018. It's called And This Blog Belongs to the Reds. We also have a podcast called Reds Country Radio. We have an episode about once a month. Just how it works out with off days and our schedules and just when the Reds are being good, we are a little bit more enthusiastic about getting a podcast out for everybody. But about once a month, we recap what's going on with the Reds. And really, the focus of the account is just to try and just look at things from a different light, try to make, you know, funny observations, jokes, memes, just about the Reds. It's really been crazy to see how much it's grown. Even in this year, when it's been a down year, it's grown a lot. So if you follow, thank you. If not, consider it. Don't have to, but you're more than welcome to join us as we try and stay on the positive side. Nick and I are maybe some of the more positive people on Reds Twitter. So I really enjoyed being on here with you and shed some of the positive light of the Reds side of things.
Yeah, absolutely. You came on after the Luis Castillo news for an emergency trade and did an awesome job. I knew we had to have you back on. So really excited to have you back on tonight as it just happens to be the two of us. Wasn't expecting that, but hey, we're here and I think we're going to have a fun show tonight. All right, before we jump in too far, I got to tell you about our partner, Bet Online. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to wager all your favorite sports, contests, events with first of market odds and lines. Find reviews and news for every sport, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. Bet Online continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information, from in-game betting, props, and futures. Head to Bet Online today or use your mobile device to join today and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50, that is BLEAV50, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online is where the game starts. And as always, we thank Bet Online for their support of Late Night Red Sox. All right, well, let's jump into the game tonight. Reds fall 5-3 to the Cardinals in 13 innings, 14 hits for the Reds, but they came up short. I'm not even really sure where to begin with this. Joey Votto was in the booth for actually probably only like half of the game because the game went so long. Steve, let's start there. What was your thoughts on Joey Votto in the booth?
I would love to hear him, maybe not in the booth in the future, but some kind of pregame show where he's breaking down swings and hitting, because obviously he knows a lot about hitting. But just to hear him talk about guys and getting a flat plane on their swing and just reacting to things that were happening during the game, obviously such a natural baseball talent on the field. But I do think he has something there in the broadcasting chops. And it was just fun to hear him just be involved. Last year, he took part in about an inning of a Reds-Cubs game in April while he was still rehabbing, and that was fun. But just to see his reactions to stuff in the booth was great. The game wasn't so great for the Reds. It was a lot of fun until the 13th inning. You know, a lot of great relievers, and I would say relievers. Nick and I were talking about that before going live, about how all the relievers who pitched tonight were great. So, but like it says up there, Aristides Aquino, 3-for-3 night. Joey liked that. He was talking about how he keeps working on his craft. But otherwise, I think just a good game, and just tough to see it end like that. When you play five innings of baseball, you would prefer to win the game.
Yeah, that would have been one of those games that in a lost season, if the Reds were able to win that game, like maybe in the 12th or any of the innings late, would be one of those like classic games that you remember 10 years from now. Oh, I remember that game. We'll still probably remember this game. I still remember that Wilson Valdez when he was on the Phillies game, and it still like haunts me, and the Aaron Harang. So yeah, this is, I don't know, maybe not up there with those because the Reds didn't, you know, ultimately win, but still, hey, it was a fun game. Wild. I thought Mike Minor is pitching pretty well of late. I mean, I know he didn't get through five, put him pretty early. I'm sure David Bell probably regrets that. I mean, hindsight, you know, since the game went into 13 innings and he had to pitch guys that he didn't want to. But yeah, I mean, the Reds had a lot of relievers just step up and pitch really well. I mean, some of it's fluky, but, you know, guys like Buck Farmer, Reaver San Martin was really, really good. Steve, what's your thoughts on Reaver, you know, before we move on here? I just continue to be so impressed with him. Game after game, he continues to get it done.
That was one of my early predictions. I think it was only to our group me of three guys who are covering the Reds for our page. But I was like, you know what? He might not be the best starter ever, but he could be a reliever. I could see them putting him in the pen and like letting him try to be a starter. But you're right, Nick. Reaver the reliever, the Grim Reaver, whatever nicknames you have for him, he has just showed out. And I have to go look at his splits again since he became a reliever, but he has been nothing short of great so far. And I think that's something that you can watch for, is like bullpen guys. You know, like if a bullpen guy is going to be good enough to stick around on the team for next year, and obviously Reaver San Martin is a rookie and he's not going to be going anywhere anytime soon, but I really enjoyed seeing his resurgence so far this year. And again, tonight showed some rare emotion after that double play. He was fist pumping as he walked off the mound. What about you, Nick? I know I've seen you tweeting a lot about Reaver. He's just been a revelation for a otherwise not great bullpen this year.
I love a guy that's easy to root for, that had these like brutal struggles, you know, goes down to AAA, works on it, comes back and has some success. Man, that's like my favorite part of baseball, you know, individually, is guys to root for like that. So yeah, it's really cool. I mean, look, the Reds have not had very many good left-handed relievers like in a long time. So hey, hopefully he can keep this up. You know, I mean, the more teams see him, you know, they might be able to figure some things out. But if you're only talking, you know, 3, 4, 5 batters at a time, I mean, I think he could be a lot more effective. I thought Jonathan India, you know, I think his overall numbers haven't been like, you know, eye popping the last month or whatever, but he's on a 14 game hit streak, had a really nice game tonight. So it would be really great to see him finish the year. And then, yeah, I mean, Joey Votto, I mean, how fun was that? I love when he like did the ad reads, like, and they weren't expecting him to. He just jumped in and did him. That's the most Joey Votto thing ever. So, yeah, hey, fun game, didn't work out, but tonight. But hey, it was entertaining, and there were some good moments. And you know, as we're building towards the future, I think there's definitely some positives to take from this game overall. All right, let's move on talking about Joey Votto. Votto did an interview with the press earlier this week, talking about the injury. But the thing that I thought was most interesting was he talked about his future and his future with the Reds and beyond that. So let's play this clip and then we'll talk about that.
I mean, it is the last guaranteed year of your contract next year. Has that ever been a thought in your head, like last year with the Reds could be next season?
Yeah, I do think about that. I'm addicted to performing. And that has never changed. So if I perform well, I'll in all likelihood want to continue to play. I don't like performing poorly. I don't like embarrassing myself. I don't like being a drag. I don't like. So I feel good. I've said that all year. I feel energized. I feel good. I feel healthy. It just didn't make sense how I performed this year. I do think about that the contract. Of course, I want to start my career and finish my career in the same uniform. That's a priority for me. And I only have so many, you know, years left. 1, 2, 3, who knows how many I have left. But I'd like to finish it in the same uniform. And I think the pride part of me wants to tell a story. You know, it's hard to tell a story if you confuse the story, and especially if the ending's confusing. I want to finish my career well, and hopefully the team plays well, and I get to be a part of a championship. So that's a little less in my control, but we'll see how that goes.
So some interesting comments there from Joey. I hate even talking about the end, but we do got to start talking about the end here at some point. So yeah, it's the first part that stands out is, you know, Joey says it's a priority to finish his career with the Reds. Steve, let's break that down. Do you take that as like if they came up to him and said, you know, would you want to be traded this offseason, that he would probably say, no, I don't want to? Is that what you take from it, or do you take that as just player speak?
I don't know. I think I would take that more as just player speak, because while obviously he has been really devoted to the Reds and he stuck it out through some lean years and some good years, I mean, I'm sure at the end of it, he wants to win a championship. And personally, I don't see them trying to trade him because of his no trade clause and of how popular he is. He is the most popular Red right now after some of the moves that have been made this past season. I just don't see them trying to move him. I don't know exactly what his trade value would be either. I don't know what you're really netting for a 39-year-old Joey Votto at this moment. And it seems like the best option is probably to just take his buyout in 2024 and just have him play out one more year in 23. And that would personally make me sad to see Joey Votto on a team that's not the Reds, but I think it's just something that unfortunately a reality of baseball and age time where the Reds are right now. Other than Joey, the Reds don't have any money committed to the 2024 salary book. So personally, I could see them just taking that buyout option that year.
Yeah, I mean, I sadly, I mean, I hate to say it, but I don't see any way the Reds are picking up that option. And I mean, I know people say, well, it's only $13 million when you subtract the buyout. Yeah, I mean, you know, when you're talking, the AG's going to be, you know, $13 million is still quite a bit of money, and I think the Reds could you know, probably use that for, you know, pieces, and it may even be, you know, signing guys, you know, to multiple years deals and having some of that money freed up for that. The one thing that I hope is I hope that maybe both sides come up with something this offseason so there's some, like, finality to this. So, you know, assuming, and I'm with you, Steve, I think most likely scenario is he stays on the Reds next year, he plays it out, and then they decline the option. But I kind of hope there's some finality to that where, you know, like, Reds fans can celebrate Joey Votto and you know, he can, you know, have this, you know, victory tour that he deserves and you know, can be recognized and fans know that. And, you know, fans that don't maybe follow as close but have loved Joey Votto and his craft, you know, aren't blindsided at the end of next year. Oh, he's gone, you know? Like, so I would hope that there's something with that next year. And so yeah, we'll see. But that's kind of something we gotta start talking about, as not it's, fun as it as it is.
It's just unfortunate because, you know, I think we all love Joey, especially a lot of people who are on Twitter love Joey. And it really is interesting to see how much he's been putting himself out there recently. Like, last year, he did a lot more podcast interviews. This year, obviously, joining social media and showing a different side of himself, joining the booth tonight. Like, it seems like he's trying to show a lot of different angles of himself that he might not have shown before. And I agree with you. I hope there's some sort of resolution, or if he decides he wants to keep playing in 2024, maybe they restructure his contract. I don't know how that would work, but it's very unlikely that he's here longer than next year. So it's very, I don't know. It's sad. Like, it's something that I think we've all held on to as Reds fans for the past 16 years of having him around the team and in the lineup every day, but it's baseball. It's time. It's unfortunately how that all works.
Yeah. Unfortunate. Let's talk about something a little more fun. Let's talk about TJ Friedl. He had two hits, I believe, tonight. This is not, if you're watching, this is not included in that. I cannot do live stats that quick, but man, TJ Friedl has been so fun to watch. Steve, what's your thoughts overall on the TJ Friedl show?
Well, just from videos of him in AAA when he was sent down, his stance has obviously changed, and I think that's helping him a lot. And that's something that you really love to see from players who are sent down and eventually want to come back up, is they're adjusting, they're changing things, they're making sure that they are becoming tougher outs. And the stats don't lie. That for the month of August, he really raked. He had a good stretch there for about a week where I think he had, like, well, this past weekend in Washington, he had two home runs and he had that great catch in the eighth inning. I think he's really just taking this opportunity when he's getting the most playing time. And I think that's what you want to see from a guy like him, of taking your opportunity to shine when you're given it and giving yourself another year. And maybe, who knows, he keeps doing this, producing it month after month. This month of August has been great, but obviously it's just, okay, you did that for August. Now, can you do it for September? Can you do it next March? Can you do it? It's just, it has to keep coming back and again and again and again, but nothing but positive on this side for me, just seeing how much he's produced this month.
Yeah, kind of got a really good question here from Mr. Juan that kind of went right along with kind of where I wanted to take this next. You know, is TJ Friedl actually a solid regular? Is he having an Aristides Aquino type of month? I mean, I would probably say maybe, you know, split the difference on that. The one thing that's been really impressive with Friedl is the extra base hits that he's had. You know, 7 extra base hits this month. This was a guy that the reason I wasn't a huge believer in him was because I just didn't see enough power, but he's changed his swing and he's showing a lot more power. And with his defensive value and his ability to play center field, the margin for error is higher. He doesn't have to, you know, even OPS over 850. You know, he'd be probably OPS right below 800 and still be a pretty valuable player. Kind of a hot take. I probably would have him ahead of Nick Senzel on the depth chart right now. You know, especially if we're talking against like right-handed pitching in center field. I'd rather see TJ Friedl out there. So, I mean, I'm not sure that's more of an indictment on Senzel than you know, a compliment to Friedl. But, yeah, I want to see more. I want to see him finish this year. I want to see him play as much as he can over this final month. Man, he's been just a plus a surprise. Just such a weird year to for the Reds to have such a, you know, a bad record, but have all these guys that have been interesting. Like, all these guys in the first half that most of them got traded. And now there's, you know, guys like Friedl and you know, Raver San Martin and Buck Farmer kind of, you know, emerging. That's just, I guess it's one of the fun, weird quirks of baseball is even in a lost season, you could still have these cool stories.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's something that, is just keeps you watching the team and bringing you back to watching games every night. Is just watching guys like TJ Friedl really shine, especially when you haven't seen that previously from him. So I'm just happy for him too. He's finally taken a real advantage of his opportunity in the big leagues, and I think he'll let him lead himself back on the team next year if he keeps producing like this. To respond to that question, I mean, like I said, it's just a month-to-month thing. We'll have to see how he keeps producing, but if he's shown the ability to adjust and keep working on his stance, he's shown the ability to be a major league ball player, because you have to keep adjusting, you have to keep working on yourself, because those pitchers are you better believe they're adjusting too, and their pitching is only going to get better and better and better as time goes on. And it's just cool to see a guy take his opportunity and then take his lumps down in AAA, really figure himself out and get back to it. So good for him, man. And I think he's just going to be one of those guys that could be a fan favorite as well. Just the hair flying out of the back of the hat. And that I'm still in awe, Nick, over that play he made on Saturday night. I don't even know how he saw that. It like somehow looked over his shoulder and the ball was there like that. I would like to see the Statcast, like what the catch probability on that was, because I don't know, it was an awesome play.
Yeah, for real. His defensive value is definitely there. There's definitely some defensive value there. And then tonight he had a bunt single. You know, I believe Doug Gray was talking about it earlier. You know, he's like the best, you know, I don't know if it was Doug that rated him or someone rated him the best bunter in the organization. And, you know, previously we had heard that, we saw him up because like, okay, well, that's just like one trick. That's not going to work. But if he can, you know, drive the ball and, you know, bunt, and teams are going to try to shift, then his bunting ability really becomes such a more of a weapon. So, yeah, that's just a really cool. Yeah, just been a fun player to watch. You know, we'll see if I'm sure he'll come back down to earth some. But I'm interested to see what his more back to earth level is. Is it a 550 OPS or is it a 750 OPS? If he, you know, has 750 OPS in September, I'm feeling pretty good about TJ Friedl going into next year.
A bunt single against Nolan Arenado. You left that part.
Yeah,
out.
Yeah.
So, like more props to him.
Yeah, and we saw a Colin Moran infield single against Nolan Arenado. What a nutty game. All right, let's move on to Justin Dunn. Had a really nice start yesterday, but had to leave early. Let's listen into his interview after the game and then have a discussion about him.
After the third, that long inning, it just kind of got a little tight on me and went up to go get a stretch. And by the time I came out, the decision was made and tried to fight to stay in. But in hindsight, probably the right decision coming off my history and get right back at it this week.
Do you think that's something you're just going to have to deal with, the shoulder? It's going to be a slow process to get it right or where you want it?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to get in with the guys in the training room and just figure out the best course of action. But hopefully it goes away. You know, that'd be nice. But hopefully it's not for too long and can get right back on track.
Even a minor shoulder issue happens after what you went through last year. Does this kind of stuff make you a little nervous or not at all?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you get a little nervous, but it feels different than what I went through in Seattle. And they were fortunate enough to make the right decision. So I'm super thankful for DB and DJ pulling me out. You know, the competitor in me wanted to go, but God forbid I go out and throw one pitch and something worse happens and I'm out for another 460 whatever days it was. So the competitor in me was pissed, but and looking back at it now, it probably was the right move.
David said he was very confident you'd make your next start. Do you feel the same way?
Yeah.
All right, so Justin Dunn, after his start last night, really has looked pretty good the last three starts. 2.40 ERA over the last three starts. It was unfortunate to see him leave early. Nice to hear that they expected him to make the last start, but I've heard that before, and not blaming the Reds. Every team does this, so this is not a Reds thing. Don't make this out to be the Reds are deceiving people. Everyone does this. This is normal. But yeah, it's been nice to see Dunn. He's kind of a wild card that could really help this rotation next year. If Justin Dunn solidifies himself as your number four, number five starter, it kind of helps, I think, everything else fall into life. What do you think, Steve?
Yeah, and that four-pitch mix that you have on screen, like that's something that I think we haven't really seen from a guy like Hunter Green, for example. You know, a guy who obviously relies on his two heavy pitches, but is still working on that third. If Dunn can reliably use four pitches to his advantage, that's just going to help him a lot as a starter. And like you said, as a fourth starter, not much pressure on him in that role. Just give him a chance to shine. And he's shown it recently. He's given you some good starts and obviously had to leave the game early last night. But I think that's just a precaution you have to take right now where you're unfortunately out of the race and games aren't mattering as much in a win-loss column sense, but you don't want to get him hurt. You don't want to bring up any old injuries that he had. But I think Justin Dunn is going to be the underrated piece of that Mariners trade. And now, obviously, Connor Phillips and Williamson are still in the minors, and we've seen what Jake Rake Fraley has been. But I think there was a lot of people who were down on Justin Dunn just because of his history of being traded from the Mets to the Mariners and the Edwin Diaz deal, and now being traded a second time and while injured as well. But I think the Reds can really get something out of him if he obviously one stays healthy and two continues to pitch as he's been recently. And I think this is really what they saw in him. I just have a lot of trust right now in what the Reds are doing with their pitching and with their development at the moment, especially with Derek Johnson at the helm. And if they found something in Justin Dunn, I'm willing to believe in them and their vision for him and what he can do with the club.
Yeah. And even if Justin Dunn is a slightly below league average starter, 4.5 ERA over the next couple of years, Reds have him under control through 2025. Hey, that's a valuable piece. You see what happens when guys get called up that don't belong in the big leagues, you know, how bad that can be. So, yeah, I mean, if he can do that, I mean, I think that's a great win as part of that trade for the Reds. And, you know, you hope that the other, bigger pieces really pan out, but this is a really, really, really nice bonus. So I'm definitely interested to see how he can finish the year. Hopefully what they said was true and he's back on his next start. But he's definitely, one of the players that I'm most interested in. We're going to talk about some of the things we're most interested in here in just a minute. Prospect watch. Boy, it has been, I got MILB TV last month, and it has just been so fun to watch the Reds organization, you know, whenever I'm able to. Just so many exciting players. I've talked, way too much about Ellie De La Cruz. Steve, the floor is yours. What do you think about Ellie De La Goat?
He's a five-tool guy, man. I mean, even a six-tool guy. If you know what Rod Carew said over the weekend about guys using their minds to play baseball, Ellie has that part of his game too. His baseball IQ is incredibly high. We saw that earlier this month with that play against, I think it was Mississippi, or I forget who it was, but he scored when the ball was thrown in a lazy throw into the infield, and he took off for home. And There was a fan shot video last night of him hustling out of the box and sprinting to second. And man, he can fly. Like, I think that's one of the underrated parts about him is, like, we know he can hit, he can steal bases. His walks have been a lot better recently, but he has got some serious speed. And if it doesn't work out in the middle infield, I could definitely see him being a center field piece or something that uses his talents to the most, because he's got everything you'd want in a ball player. And how early can you call him up? Like, is now too early? Is next year too early? Like, I don't know. He's so exciting. And I don't want to build the hype on him too much. He seems to be taking the hype pretty well on his shoulders, and he's able to, you know, he's been having such a great year, and he hasn't seemed to let the jump to Double A affect him as well. He's been producing a lot up there in a higher level, in a, I would argue, a more competitive level than Triple A baseball, because it's a lot of top prospects in Double A and just guys trying to get to the majors in that level, and they're all super highly competitive, and he's done nothing but rake since he's come up. So Ellie De La Goat, I am trying to help conduct the hype train for him. Every time he does something, I'm putting out the train emoji, like choo choo. We got to get him going. And like, more people should know his name. And I think it's a personal travesty, Nick, that he is not number one in every person's MLB, like, prospect ranking, because he is so exciting.
Yeah, I mean, he has flown up a lot. He was like 50 just like a couple weeks ago, and he was like barely in the top 100 at the beginning of the year, and he wasn't last year. So it's hard to just, you know, go from nothing to one. So, like, I'll give the prospect guys, you know, a little bit of grace on that. But yeah, De La Cruz's OPS like almost 30 points higher at Double A than it was at High A. He's been better. Like, how? Like, is batting average like 20 points higher? They will know his name. They will know his name. He's the kind of player that can, he's a franchise altering player. If he pans out like we hope he can, he might not. And that's not fair to put all the pressure on him. I don't think it matters. I'm not putting any pressure on him, but I think you understand what I'm saying. But, man, I would say, you know, the one thing is you can't screw up calling him up. You have to call him up at the right time. You can't call him up too early. You don't want to call him up too late either, but it has to be the right time. I think he needs to finish the year at Double A, you know, finish strong, start next year at Triple A. And if he's still banging at Triple A and he doesn't miss a beat, then, I mean, I don't see why you're not calling him up next summer, next, you know, May, June. But yeah, I mean, time will tell. A player that might be getting called up, I guess, today, as it is after midnight on the East Coast. It is now September 1st, and the rosters do expand by two players to 28, is Spencer Steer. Spencer Steer was one of the players acquired in the Tyler Mahle trade. 128 weighted runs created plus altogether. Throughout his time in the minors this year between Double A and Triple A. Steve, let's start with you. I mean, do you think that the Reds should call Spencer Steer up today?
Nick, I have another stat for you. He has not been on base in one game out of his 29 games within the Reds organization so far, and that's just in the month of August. And man, I don't see any reason why you don't call him up. I think we're past the time, the service time point at this point in the season, and you get those two extra roster spots, and I really would like to see him get called up, because, you know, he's almost 25, and I think that's a perfect time for him to really show what he has. And you know, he was a college guy, so he is a little bit older than some of the other prospects that are highly rated across baseball. But man, he's another exciting guy. And again, tonight he had another double, and I think two hits tonight overall. But he's been really knocking the cover off the ball in Louisville, and I think he's definitely earned his way up.
Yeah, I would like to see him called up. I'm not going to kill the Reds if they decide not to. But personally, I would like to. I mean, I think it would be a lot of fun. It'd be another really interesting player to watch that would make this last month a little more enjoyable. The one thing that does concern me, and I like Spencer Steer a lot, and I think he has a lot of upside. One thing that does kind of concern me is his ability to hit right-handed pitching. His batting average this year is only like .251 against right-handed pitching. Now he destroys left-handed pitching, but he's got pretty significant splits. And you know, I wonder if the Reds are looking at that and maybe, you know, some other things that they're wanting him to work on, maybe making more contact against right-handed pitching, and they're worried about calling him up right now, and you know, him kind of, you know, falling on his face or just it not clicking, you know, for him. So maybe that's a concern. But like you said, with his age, you know, you got to start seeing what you got here at some point. So I hope he's called up. I'd be disappointed, but I'm not going to be, you know, come with pitchforks if they don't, if that makes sense.
Another thing I didn't realize until a couple of days ago is that the AA and AAA seasons go till the end of September now. So it's not like he's just going to be sitting on the shelf for the month of September, like he might have been in previous years. You can still give him that opportunity to play every day in AAA. So I agree with you. If they call him up, great. If not, let him work on that. Let him work on his splits, and hopefully he'll be ready in time for opening day next year if he's still producing the way he is right now.
Yeah. All right, the next guy also acquired in the Tyler Mahle trade, Christian Encarnacion Strand. And every time I watch this guy, man, this guy hits. And maybe a hot take here. I think Christian Encarnacion Strand has a case as the best hitter in the Reds minor league organization. Obviously, wow. He plays first base and is probably going to be first base DH, maybe some third base. Most people don't think he can play third base in the big leagues. So he doesn't have nearly the value of a De La Cruz or a Marte or an Arroyo, but just pure hitter. I mean, look at the way the Reds created plus. He's at 158. De La Cruz is at 159, and they've had almost parallel seasons. Encarnacion Strand was in Double A, or sorry, started in High A, moved to Double A this year, almost like very similar to De La Cruz. So I think this guy has a case as one of the the best hitter in the organization in the minor leagues. And I think he has a chance to actually get to the big leagues before De La Cruz. Because I don't think the Reds are necessarily as worried about, you know, rushing him, or if they are doing any silly service time manipulations, not as worried about that with him. But man, this is a guy that, man, you get him at Great American Ballpark, could really, really be just an incredible, incredible hitter. I can't wait to see him.
I mean, we were unfortunately talking about Votto moving on from him in 24, but may I present to you someone who will be ready in 2024, most likely, Mr. CES Christian Encarnacion Strand. Like you said, the way to runs created plus is something that's eye popping. I didn't see that before you just posted that. So it's so cool to see that. And I think that he's just been part of a Lookouts lineup that has just been like crazy good over the month of August. So I think he's just been another exciting piece, and he's only in Double A right now. You can still give him time, really work him up all next year of Triple A. And if he does continue to produce, he could definitely be that right-handed Joey Votto replacement, play first base, play DH. Great American Ballpark, like you said, is calling his name. And he's another guy that I think I am almost higher on from the Mahle trade than Spencer Steer, just because of his power numbers. And once Votto's gone, the Reds are not going to have a solidified power bat in their lineup. And if this guy keeps producing the way he does, I think he could be the next young power bat in their lineup. And if you're going to play your home games at Great American Ballpark, you need someone who's going to be able to pop you 20 to 30 home runs in a season. And like the numbers show, he's definitely shown the potential for that in the minors. So I would love to see him keep producing like that.
Yeah. The margin for error with him is less than Steer, because Steer can not only play a solid third base, but actually they played him at shortstop, right field, second base, all over the field. So, you know, he has a lot more flexibility and ways to make a roster as opposed to Encarnacion Strand, who pretty much has to like lock up like a first base DH spot to have a spot on the roster. But yeah, really, really excited about him. And then the last guy, Brandon Williamson, just been, man, an up and down year for him. He was at the time was thought of as the biggest piece of the Winker Suarez trade. I think now Connor Phillips has passed him, and Jake Fraley's also maybe banging on that door as well. Steve, what's your thoughts on Williamson?
Yeah, he's been a lot better as of late. I feel like I've seen that the walks have been down lately too. Maybe he's had a couple bad innings. It seems like he can't really get through that first inning without some trouble. But after he settles into the game, he usually gets a lot better and produces. But I for him just a spot start in at the major league level, and just to see what you have in him. He's another like kind of older guy. Is he 23, Nick? I don't exactly remember his age.
Yeah, he went to college because he was teammates with Nick Lodolo. He's actually 24 and a half. So he's he's a little older, but you know, he's a pitcher. So, you know, it takes, you know, sometimes a little bit longer to develop. You hit it on the head with Williamson. It's just these, you know, one bad innings in most of his starts. If you watch them, he has good stuff, is able to get guys out, but you know, has those rough innings. And Great American Ballpark, you don't want to have, you know, rough innings, because that can really, you know, snowball. We've seen some guys come up here that weren't ready, and it was rough. So my guess with Williamson is maybe like when the Reds have one of those doubleheaders, they call him up for one of those, maybe where he's coming up and it's a low pressure, like, hey, we're only planning on calling you up for this. You know, it's not a, hey, we're putting you in the rotation. Maybe kind of ease him in, maybe give him a couple of those starts the rest of the year. He might also be kind of you know, close to some innings capping as well. So that might also be another consideration. But yeah, I think something like that would make sense. I would definitely like to see him, though, you know, by the end of the year. But I don't see him being added to the roster today. I think that other spot will probably go to another reliever, especially after what happened, you know, tonight with the entire Calvary being used. Let's talk about some injury updates. Real quick, we'll run through these. Hunter Green is scheduled to make his first rehab start tomorrow. Well, today, for the Bats. So, Hunter Green, it might only be one rehab start, maybe two, but hopefully, we'll get to see Hunter Green back again this year, and it'd be nice to see him finish the year strong. Graham Ashcraft started throwing a couple days ago. He's working his way back again, maybe kind of running out of time, but you know, they might be saying, hey, well, like we'd like him to make two more starts the last week of the year. That might be kind of where he's at. Matt Reynolds is starting a rehab assignment later this week. Not sure really where he would fit into the plans, but you know, guys are going to be getting hurt probably. And you know, guys that are maybe banged up or are just going to be put on the IL as opposed to trying to play through it this time of the year. So by the time he's back, there's probably a spot somewhere. Then Albert Almora Jr., he played tonight for the Bats. His first rehab assignment went 1-for-3. Again, he'd have to be a guy that I think would have to replace someone that's hurt, because I know the Reds like him and I like his defense, but I don't even know if I necessarily want him ahead of like Stuart Fairchild or Aquino right now. I'd rather see those guys. What do you think, Steve?
Yeah, I agree. I think, unfortunately, it's just we got to see what the young guys have right now. Like you said, Aquino, Fairchild, Fraley, Friedel. I think you got to see what these guys can produce, because Reynolds and Elmore aren't going to be here after this year. At least I don't think so. You could probably re-sign him next year just to fill some roster spots. But I think you're not helping yourself as a club if you're just relying on some of these guys to make starts for you every day. I think obviously it's unfortunate the Reds are in the position that they're in, you know, with a losing record. And, but this is the time now for you to give your younger guys a chance. And, you know, they brought back Stuart Fairchild, for example, to, for this moment, to give him an opportunity. And I'm not opposed to Matt Reynolds and Albert Almora making some spot starts down the stretch if they're able to come back. Like, they were good parts of the team. They helped out this year. And Albert kind of provided one of the fun parts of the early season when he was using the acclaimed thing, when he was doing like the scissoring thing or whatever that was. But I think you're just doing a disservice if you're not at least letting your young guys play, figure it out, play day, every day, and get into the groove of being a major league ball player and see if there's anything there with them.
Yeah, and they can also drag these guys' rehab assignments out into late September, which for those guys is great too, because they're earning major league money. So, you know, hey, they played hard. They're still earning that major league paycheck doing the rehab assignments. So, yeah, I imagine they're probably just kind of, you know, there as insurance, and there will be some more injuries. We don't know who or where, but, you know, those guys at least can be competitive, especially games against the Pirates. And then lastly, Mike Moustakas is expected to miss the remainder of the 2022 season. I know we are all devastated that we will not get to see any more Mike Moustakas. Steve, I'll ask it. Has Mike Moustakas had his last at-bat as a Cincinnati Red? He is still owed $16 million next year with the $4 million buyout the next, I think.
Ah, man. I don't see how they bring him back for another year. I don't know. It seems obviously cheaper to not bring him back, but you can't have a roster spot for him if you want to see what some of your young guys are able to do. And, you know, it just really never worked for Mike in Cincinnati. And I think it would have worked out had, you know, it been a regular season in 2020. And even in the shortened season, he unfortunately came down with COVID, and I think he got hurt a couple times. And then last year he was hurt for a long stretch, and he just never was able to really stay healthy enough to be a part of the everyday lineup. So I feel for him. Obviously, major league guy, this is not what he wanted for his career. He would have wanted to stay the same guy that he was in Kansas City and Milwaukee. And it just never really panned out after opening day 2020, where he was like, oh my God, the Reds signed this guy for 4 years. Like, he's awesome. Never really panned out after that, but, you know, I feel for the guy. You know, he spent 3 years of his career here and it just didn't work out. Obviously he was paid well, and you know, I'm not really too concerned about that, but I can't see him coming back at all, unfortunately. And, you know, I'm sure all the people, I have a Mike Moustakas GIF that will live on forever on the internet, in the Giphy bar, and, it won't be used again, unfortunately. So sorry, Mike.
Yeah, I see probably a similar thing with like Shogo Akiyama, where they're going to make him go to spring training, you know, go all the way through promotions. you know, I mean, you're hoping maybe guys are there retiring, but I don't see, you know, guy throwing away $20 million for nothing. But I would see that, and then, you know, get to the end of the spring. If you have, you know, one of those crazy springs where you have so many injuries, hey, maybe you know, let him play a little bit in the season. But, you know, if you get regular, you know, relatively healthy, you have enough younger guys, I think you probably are just better off cutting ties and, you know, letting some of the other younger guys play. And yeah, it stinks. You know, 2020, I mean, he had over 900 OPS and 6 home runs in September, October of 2020. Actually was, that's a big home runs in that weird season at the end of the year, and, you know, help get the rest of the playoffs. And that was the year really that you wanted Moustakas the most, was trying to, you know, give her that hope when you did have, you know, Bauer on the roster. So it stinks that I feel like we would view the Moustakas contract a little bit more favorable, you know, had that been a full season, and, you know, he would have had a little bit more health. Like, we think he probably would have that year, but it is what it is. And, you know, I hope they're not, you know, dragging him out next year deep into the season. And but I think, you know, with them cutting ties with Shogo, I think that's a good sign that they are going to do at least the right thing with that. So, all right. Steve, who else are you most interested in seeing? Is it Chucky Robinson the rest of the season, or do you have anyone else?
Yeah, so I've really enjoyed seeing what Chucky Robinson's done. It's always cool to see a guy come up and relatively automatically produce the way he has. But you know what? I really want to see what Alexis Diaz can do as he closes out the season. And he's really been one of the stars of the year for the Reds. It kind of came out of nowhere, wasn't ranked on prospect rankings for the Reds. I think he was still kind of an unknown guy when he was named to the opening day roster. And if he can be anything like his brother in New York, like that's a real piece that the Reds have in their bullpen for the next four or five, 6 years. And I've really enjoyed getting to watch him and learn from big situations, learn how to pitch, learn, you know, and that's part of the growing pains of him. He's come in and given up some walks every now and then. And, you know, that's just, unfortunately, what it's like being a part of, you know, Diaz, of having him involved as a rookie. But he's had some such great moments this year as well. Like, I can remember he had loaded the bases and then struck out Jose Ramirez in May. Like, there's definitely some moments that he's had this year where he's been a real positive light. And I got to say Barrero too, just because I'll never live down the alternate site moment of the year in 2020 where you just watched his swing and the commentary in the background from people that were watching him. It's just, I don't know. I love Jose Barrero. I really want to see him become something, but I would say my answer is Alexis Diaz. What about you?
Yeah, I like Alexis Diaz. Someone actually asked me a really good question earlier today, and if you got us up on YouTube or Twitter or Facebook, you see Diaz actually the third highest Reds reliever in Fangraph's version of wins above replacement since 1980. Only Scott Williamson and Rob Dibble have more as rookies. So, yeah, wow, what an awesome season. And I don't think we've appreciated enough, you know, really what he's done. I'm a huge Jake Fraley fan, so you know, interested to see him. And then, yeah, TJ Friedl as well. You know, how can he finish the season? Yeah, that's probably what I'm looking for here as we 1 month left. A lot of games in September. There's a doubleheader in there. After Reds are off tomorrow, they're off Monday. But then after that, they only have two more off days the rest of the year into October 5th is the last day. So yeah, there'll be a lot of Reds baseball here to finish the year. For some of you, that's a good thing. For others, that's yeah, whatever. All right, real quick, I wanted to start doing this a little bit more. Take a look at some of the other races. This was entering today, so there might have been some shakeup, but overall, if you're watching, you see kind of where the races stand. Steve, what race or maybe what team are you kind of most interested in keeping your eyes on here the last month of the year?
Yeah, so I've been really interested in what the Phillies have been doing recently. They lost Bryce Harper for a while, and they were out without Kyle Schwarber for a little bit as well, but they seem to have overcome their defensive mishaps and firing Joe Girardi earlier this year and really have come into form. Like they've been really good over the past month, and they've obviously vaulted themselves in a position where they can get back into the playoffs for the first time in a decade. Folks, the Reds have been in the playoffs three times since the Philadelphia Phillies have. So if you're down on the Reds, just think about that, you know, that's something to think about. But just this National League race, obviously, you see the Braves are kind of pulling away with it. It's been a little bit of a tug of war with the Mets and the NL East for how close they are. But I'm going to pose something to you, Nick. Do you think the movement is done? Do you think anybody else is going to leap up into that wild card, that last wild card spot in either league? Because to me, I think we have our seven teams or six teams, sorry, in each league. I don't really see Milwaukee or Baltimore really leaping up.
Well, Baltimore is the team that I'm most interested in watching just because I think they're fascinating. They just called up their top prospect today. It would be insane if Baltimore knocked out Toronto or Seattle, who were both teams at the beginning of the year we felt were bona fide playoff teams. Midway through the year, we felt, oh, these are, you know, really good teams. But Baltimore just keeps hanging around. The Twins are also kind of interesting that they're in a weaker division. So I know they've had a lot of injuries, including, you know, our old friend Sonny Gray and Tyler Mahle. But yeah, I would say that's probably is how it shapes up in the American League. I think I'm a little more bullish on Milwaukee. And why would be, again, the division they play in. You know, Milwaukee's going to be playing, I don't know their exact schedule, but I'm assuming they're going to be playing the Reds, the Pirates, and the Cubs a lot. You know, whereas Philadelphia and San Diego, like even San Diego, like the Rockies and D-backs, they're not pushovers. You know, those teams I think would be competing in the NL Central right now. They're just in a brutal division. So I'm not counting out Milwaukee. I think Milwaukee and San Diego, if those are the two teams in the final spot, would be a fascinating race because they made that trade. And that would be kind of fun to watch. So yeah, we'll see. And we'll try to keep, you know, going through this here. You know, the last couple weeks, if you hate this segment, tell us. If you like it, tell us, and we'll keep it or not. I don't know. I thought it was something interesting to add to it. And then if you're watching, here is the format, with the six teams. So that's going to be interesting. And also, I guess maybe something fascinating will be to watch is, if there's teams fighting for the second or third seed and getting that bye. That's kind of a fun, I really like that part of it. There's some parts I don't like, but I do like that part of it where, yeah, you may have your division winners set, but there's still going to be something for a lot of teams to play. And I think there'll be a lot more moving pieces and a lot more interesting storylines at the end of the year. So I'm kind of interested to see how that plays out. All right.
Yeah, and that top wild card too, like just a note, like that top wild card spot too, is interesting as well. Cause they host that first round playoff series and, you know, like the Braves obviously have a lock on that, but that could be something to watch too in the AL wild card race is that I think those teams are pretty tightly knotted for those three spots.
Yeah. And all three games are at home. Yeah. That's a really good point, Steve. Do you like that? All right, here is your upcoming schedule. No Reds baseball tomorrow, today, whatever it is. So go mow the grass or whatever you're going to do on a Thursday night. Then the Reds, three against the Rockies, three at the Cubs, and then they'll be at the Brewers. So if you see, here's what you got coming up. I'm not going to really go through all those. Chase Anderson, is he going to pitch on Sunday? Is he pitch tonight? That's an interesting thing to watch. All right. Before I get to this, Steve, wanted to really thank you for coming on tonight. You were awesome. A lot of fun. Definitely got to have you back again, if you're willing and able, this off season, for some more chats. Really have enjoyed having you on the show, tonight. Once again, before you get out of here, shout out all your stuff where people can find you.
Yeah. So, in the stream, you can see my personal Twitter account is @_MauerPower. That's not Joe Mauer. I've gotten that a lot, Nick. People spell my last name wrong all the time. Even my best friends still spell my last name wrong. So it's Mauer with two R's and then power at the end. Our Twitter account following the Reds is @ATBBTTR. And this blog belongs to the Reds. Kind of wordy, but it's, you know, obviously a play on the famous broadcaster for the Reds, Marty Brenneman, his call whenever the Reds would win games when he was still working. So we really just try to make it fun, keep a little more of the positive light of Reds country, try to invite people like it's my guy Rob said, it's like we're the front porch of Reds country. We're inviting you in. We have a nice pie cooling on the porch, and you can smell the, you know, what kind of pie, whatever kind of pie you like. It's that's the pie we have waiting for you, and we're just making fun and try to post like some fun videos and, you know, maybe a little bit more clips once the team maybe gets back to more of a higher standard of performance. But we really just try to make it fun and enjoyable for everybody to be a Reds fan. You know, like you do, Nick, and like everybody else is doing, we're just trying to have fun and watch the team and really hope for some more wins along the way. So it's been a lot of fun so far. We're going to be entering our fourth season. Our fifth season next year, which is kind of crazy to think about. So, all right. No. Yeah, I guess our fifth season next year. I can't count. It's too late.
Awesome. Well, fantastic. Well, we have enjoyed having you on. Wanted to make sure I made mention of this before we get out of here. Premiering tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, we did me and Tim did a special interview with Cam Miller. I'm sure if you follow the Reds, you know he's got a film, Riverfront Remembered, that's going to be debuting next week, I believe. Really cool interview. Talk with Cam about his film and then other Cincinnati nostalgia, including like even the Cincinnati Gardens, which I think was a really cool conversation. So really enjoyed that. So that will premiere tomorrow at 8 across all of our platforms, YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. And it will also be up as a podcast right at 8 o'clock as well. Make sure that you check that out. And then as always, please take 2 seconds, hit that like button on YouTube and subscribe to our channel. It really helps us continue to grow the show. Subscribe on all your favorite podcast platforms. Leave us a 5-star review. We really do appreciate it, and we appreciate everyone's support. So for Steve, I'm Nick. Thanks for joining us tonight. Go Reds.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John Littlefoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last crunch berry.
No!
No one steals my crunch berries.
I think you mean my crunch berries. Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch.